Hare Krishna. So I have a question. Who tried to do the home task? Do you remember what was... So first question, do you remember that we had some homework? Okay, good. That's good. We remember that we had something. Then do you remember what was it? Who remembers? Okay, we had two homeworks. So one homework was connected to not criticizing anybody or anything, and another homework was hearing, especially hearing the holy name, our own chanting of the holy name. So we'll talk about this more. So first, who found this very easy to not criticize anybody or anything? You found it easy, very easy. Easy. Okay, so we have three saints here. Very nice. Anybody or anything? Who remembered over the last 3 days? Oh, I shouldn't criticize somebody. Please raise your hands. Okay, very good. Then who found that this was not easy to not criticize him? Okay, so these are like more normal people. Okay. So who actually managed to stop criticism, at least for a little while, or at least for some person? Okay, you managed to. Okay, very good. And so, do you have anything to share? What helped you? What arguments helped you to stop criticizing somebody or something? Who would like to share? Yes? Okay, very good. So no time. Mataji was alone and she had no time to criticize anybody or anything. Okay, that's very good. That gives us some hints. Yes. That's how that reminds me of one joke about one Christian saint. It's a joke about the Christian monastery. There was a famous Christian monastery and nearby there was a one of the monks. He went to the forest and he became so advanced that animals stopped fearing him. So animals would be coming nearby and he could basically talk to some animals, and near where he was living, some wolves. Do you know what is a wolf? Vrika in Sanskrit. I don't know what is Hindi. What do they say in Hindi for a wolf? Krishna Balaram Prabhu, do you know what's a wolf in Hindi? In Sanskrit, it's Vrika, like Bhima was called Vrikodara. He had a wolf's stomach. So it's a ferocious, it's a very dangerous animal, can eat people. But he could, there are bears, so, but something like rickshaw in, not the rickshaw wala with the bicycle, but in the forest, name of it, bear. And he could live without any problem. So one day the supervisor of the monastery went to see him. So he saw him and he saw that he's very advanced and animals, he can stay with animals, they do not touch him. So he said, oh, so you have achieved a very high level. So you can even peacefully stay with wolves and bears. So now, if you want to really become advanced and move up even higher, so you can come back to the monastery and try to live together with the brothers, with the brethren. So it's sometimes easier to be on loving terms with the animals than, you know, with the human beings. Just like also there are so many people who speak about love, loving the humanity, but they have hard time loving just some specific people, one specific person. It's difficult. Okay. Anybody else would like to share some experience? What helped you to not condemn or criticize?
Well, I need to give the summary. So I was busy preparing. I had 6 pages to write. So I didn't think of anything else.
You had no time. Okay. So you were positively engaged. You had some positive engagement. Okay. Yes.
Plus my reading of the chapters. So I must stop
So you were very seriously taking the instruction you heard in the class. Okay, and that was helping. Okay, very good. Yes. Somebody else? Jai Govinda Prabhu? So what did you tell him?
I said if someone does a mistake wrong, they will suffer better when you do.
Okay. So if somebody does a mistake, they will suffer. Why I should worry? Yeah, that's a very good point. So we forget that there is already a judge, right? And I'm not the judge. Like if in the city I come and start judging everybody, right? Then the real judge or the police superintendent, he will take interest in me. And he will come, he will call me and say, "Hey, don't you know this job is taken? There is already Yamaraj, there is already Paramatma in the heart. So if I'm trying to take the place of Paramatma or Yamaraj, it means I'm an upstart. Yeah, I'm an imposter." So we can just leave it to Krishna. Krishna knows very well what to do. And we just do our duties. Very good. So did you find a way? Oh, it was on the phone. Okay. I can tell you a trick. How to do that? When you, I mean, if you have this kind of a conversation that you don't want to hear criticism or something, on the phone it's more or less easy. You start talking. Did you have a chance to speak like 4 or 5 words? You had a chance to. So start talking, and as you are talking, cut it off. So you're not cutting off them. Right? You're cutting off yourself. You just start talking and then cut off. And that's it. And then switch off the phone and or something else. But phone is easy. But if it's in person, you cannot cut off. Of course, you can. Sometimes I even had to say that, "Sorry, I need to go to the toilet." You know, if somebody was really trying to pour some garbage into my ears. But otherwise, if you have somebody is like person with whom you have a good relationship and you cannot just brush it off. So then, ask this person. So what do you want to do about this? In other words, for any criticism to be of any value, it has to be directed to benefiting somebody. So you ask, you are telling this, you want to do something. Usually they never want, yes? But they will catch. So after a few times you ask them, so what do you want to do? Or do you want me to do something? Translate it into something practical. Bring some conclusion to this conversation. And if they say what nothing is possible to do, then you can preach to them, you can tell them something. That's the time when you can actually bring up some philosophy. Right. Right. You can ask this person, so did you try to help this? Did you try to do something about this? It is something we have to learn, yes? To not criticize in our mind, and also when somebody uses our ears to criticize somebody, how to learn to turn the tide. And I have experience. I have friends who, because most people in this world are addicted to this, I myself am addicted to this, and sometimes people have a special taste to criticize them. But if you try, every time if you try to convert it into something positive, then usually people understand that just criticizing is not something that brings anybody any benefit. It's actually something that is detrimental for everybody. Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Try and step back and say,
Also, sometimes we can respond to the person's emotions, saying that, oh, you feel depressed, or you feel, it sounds like you feel very concerned, or sounds like you feel hurt, or whatever they feel, try to reflect it. So they will feel that they've been heard and understood. That helps them. But usually devotees, most sincere devotees, they pick up that you don't like hearing criticism, and they themselves appreciate that. And usually devotees are sincere, and they learn themselves to become more positive in their approach. So if they cannot help, then in a particular situation, it may even omit mentioning it, or they will learn to mention it in a more philosophical way, or they will learn to bring up something in a positive way. See what they can do. So this is with regards to others criticizing. But for us, of course, the biggest challenge is us ourselves criticizing something or somebody.
Is this categorized as criticism?
You are organizing this program.
No, I make organizing, or I make this part of it. You know, it's just like someone forgets.
Right.
Yes, they have, you know, it's a preaching program that someone forgets their musical instruments, or someone doesn't welcome white people, or someone is really off to someone.
Okay, right. Right. So this is a separate question, how to correct people. Again, there is a difference. If it's your responsibility, then you must correct, but it is much more powerful if you take a person aside and speak without anybody else hearing. Then it is very purifying for this person. Whereas if you do it in public, even if it's, you know, like chastising a child, it becomes just a public humiliation for the person, even for a child. It's public humiliation, and he resents. He becomes inimical towards you. So that's one thing. Another thing, we have to always express trust in the person, and again, seeing bad and good, right? So we see the bad, but we also see the good, and we express our trust, saying that, "Oh, I trust that next time you will be able to do this." And give a clear instruction what needs to be done. A very clear instruction what needs to be done. Again, not just focusing their mind on the negative, what has been wrong, but what needs to be done in a correct way. Again, directing it in a positive way. And again, it brings, there's a big topic, I don't know, we can just touch upon it, about conflicts. Did Braj Bihari teach you this year? He taught it, yes? He's a wonderful teacher. He does a wonderful course, conflict resolution, and there's just some few very simple tricks. So you have to first understand whose problem is it, who owns the problem, right? So for example, if the problem is not yours, the other person has a problem, then you cannot actually instruct them or advise them until they ask your advice. So don't you know, teach until hired, as they say, or don't teach. Otherwise, they will resent or they will not accept, and just waste your energy. And you know, we have it even in the ninth offense of the holy name. Yeah? Instruct people who are not willing to listen, and they will not hear most of the time. So how to make them interested in hearing you? So that's empathic listening. That's showing to them that you actually understand what they feel, right? So you respond by empathy, saying, "Oh, you must. It sounds like you are feeling depressed. It sounds like you're feeling very concerned." So you reflect their feeling very correctly, as precise as you can. Even if you are not correct in your analysis, still people appreciate that you are interested in what they feel, and then they may ask your advice. So that's if they own the problem. But if you own the problem, right, then that's how it should be stated. Like the example is, somebody plays loud music next doors, right? Or some loud noise next doors, right? So whose problem is it? Is it the person's problem or my problem? It's my problem, right? The person is enjoying himself, right? He's playing loud music, he's happy. Or they have a party or whatever. So therefore, if it's my problem, it's very important to determine whose problem is this. And then if it's my problem, then I give an I message. So I include stating that I have a problem. Because usually we come across and start blasting, you are a rascal. He's not, you know, he's thinking, why am I a rascal? You know, I'm just playing some music. So we come and say, dear Prabhu, I'm sorry, I have a problem. I have a problem studying, I have a problem sleeping, I have this problem or that problem. So we state the situation, I have a problem, right? And then, in the West it's called non-violent communication. But in Braj Bihari Prabhu's explanation, it's even more powerful. So, I have a problem, and then describe the situation. So, when there is loud music at 11 o'clock in the night, or when there is whatever, yes? So, you state the problem clearly, without blaming the person, just state what happens, very objectively, just state the facts. So when there is loud noise next door, it's 11 o'clock, I have a big problem, trouble falling asleep. Right? So then this, I think Rosenbaum was his name, this founder of nonviolent communication, he says, then you can give a suggestion. But even more powerful is just to leave as it is. Just state your problem. Because then something very interesting happens. Then the person is the one who makes a choice. And then the person comes out often even just as like somebody, some charitable and kind person. He helps you to solve your problem. And he can come up with many more options than you can suggest. Because I would just, you know, come in fuming and say, switch off the player, right? But he may have so many other options. He can move to the Yamuna side, you know, or he may put on the headphones, or he may tone it down, or there may be 20 different options, and he knows better what he can do. So leave it up to him, and you can see how it works. Because otherwise, if you just come and accuse or order, naturally it creates resistance in the person. Whereas if you come and present it as my problem, as it is my problem in actuality, then what happens? Oftentimes it improves the actually the relationship or communication between the people. Because you are the person does you a favor. He does you a favor. He's very happy. You are happy because it's quite. So I messages state that this is my problem and just state the facts. Can be, certainly. So again, we can see what's the purpose, right? What's the purpose? Because if we want to find everything that's negative, the list is endless. It's absolutely endless. We are in the material world, Prabhus. So the list is endless. There are so many defects. You can never end describing all the defects and problems and insurmountable problems. So what's the point? Right? But if these are some defects that need to be overcome presently, then again, what's the plan of action? If you are asking about a situation that you need to consider, like you're going somewhere, and so you're asking what's the situation here. Okay, so maybe it's, again, there is some positive goal there. You will become acquainted with the scene, yes, who is what and what's happening. So there is some purpose there. So you can see what's the purpose and whether there is some positive direction in that. Otherwise, if it's just, you know, describing the negative things, what's the point? Who benefits? Just ask, is there any benefit to anybody from this? Honestly. All right, let's move on. We will still touch on this because, as I mentioned, this is the turning point in our devotional service, learning to be respectful to everybody and everything. And certainly it takes more than just a few instructions or few thoughts to learn to always be full of deep respect towards everything. But for now, let's move to what's described in chapter 10, which is beautifully called Techniques of Hearing and Remembering. So you can see Srila Prabhupada writes, the beginning of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is hearing, in Sanskrit called Shravana. All people should be given the chance to come and join devotional parties so that they may hear. This hearing is very important for progressing in Krishna consciousness. When one links his ears to give oral reception to the transcendental vibrations, he can quickly become purified and cleansed in the heart. In the first canto, Prabhupada also glorifies that the person, if the person at least hears, then he will definitely advance. And again, Shravanam is very important. Prabhupada, what does Srila Prabhupada state here? What is the importance of Shravanam? Heart will be cleansed. And he also shows the place of Shravanam in devotional service. That's the beginning of devotional service. So it's very important. That's the beginning. That's where devotional service begins. So without Shravanam, basically there is nothing else. Everything begins with Shravanam. And the famous examples, analogies are here. So if the person is unconscious, you can show the person some, you know, notes. You know, the person is sleeping, you can show him something written. But he will, it will not help. But if you tell the person something, and the person will wake up. Hearing is actually crucial to learning. Reading is of course a kind of hearing, but even to read, we learn by hearing. Yeah, so hearing is... I always remember how in my high school, my history teacher was telling how he was... One time he was guiding some tours in the city. And at one point, he had a big group of deaf people. So a whole bus of deaf people. You know what's deaf, right? They cannot hear, right? So he was told that he can just give his normal presentation. And there is a person, so many of them can read the lips, and somebody will also translate into the sign language, with the gestures. But the leader of those deaf people, he told him that please make your presentation very, very simple and basic. Don't say any complicated things. Speak as if you are speaking to, you know, 8-year-old children. Even though these are grown-ups, speak as if you are speaking to very young children. They don't have a very developed understanding capacity. So he was struck that just by being deprived of hearing, just by being deaf, it impaired their development in capacity to understand complicated things so much that he was actually asked to give a very simple presentation. So actually hearing is very important, is crucial to our intellectual and psychological development. Even in material life. Even materially, right? Because whatever we learn, it starts with hearing. Even though, you know, oftentimes in schools and everything, they tell you that we get 90 or 95% of our information through the eyes. Right? So eyes are like most important sense, yes? Through the ears, you get only 2% of our information. From the eyes, I think it's 20 megabytes per second information going to the brain. So it's a lot. From the ears, much less. But these 95% of information, they will make no sense if these 2% are missing. Like if we have not been taught through hearing, like the usual example is, you know, if I'm not trained in fixing cars, if somebody opens the hood of the car, if I look under the hood of the car, I'm seeing a lot, but I see nothing, right? Whereas if I have heard somebody explain to me what is what and what can be the problem. And you, or if somebody is a trained mechanic, and you open the hood, and he immediately says, "Oh, you have this wire or this pipe is disconnected." Immediately he can see something. So hearing helps us make sense. These 2% of information help us to make sense of all the rest of information we are getting. So this is, even though maybe it's lesser volume, lesser size or this information, but the importance is so much higher. It's the basis of understanding all the other information we are getting, even in material life and in spiritual life especially. This is the first sense that can be touched. Is it clear? Any questions or comments on this? And again, Srila Prabhupada says that, therefore, it is page 90, first paragraph, it's about middle of the page. Therefore, it is the recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one should simply hear from authorities who are actually devotees of the Lord. Hearing from professional men will not help. If we hear from those who are actually self-realized, then the nectarian rivers, like those which are flowing on the moon planet, will flow into our ears. This is the metaphor used in the verse there above from Padma Purana. So, also there is a verse in the Bhagavatam that a devotee's words touch the lotus feet of Krishna, and the sound vibration carries the fragrance of the saffron particles on the lotus feet of Krishna. So when we hear a devotee who is meditating on Krishna, then the vibration of his words is permeated by this beautiful aroma coming directly from Krishna's lotus feet. Who had this experience that you were hearing a devotee and your heart was touched? Please raise your hand. Yeah? Also today we heard there was a nice class by Indrajuna Maharaj. So this is important. One thing is important: the motives of the speaker, the realization. Srila Prabhupada was saying that just state what you understand, and it will influence the people. If you just understand a little bit, just say what you have realized. If it's a little, that's all right. But just whatever you have realized, that you state, and this will be much more powerful even than speaking a lot but something that I have no realization of. All right. Any questions here? So we hear, but we understand differently. So that's why, on one side, it is important to continue hearing and to continue studying, right, to have the full picture. You see, when we studied the whole Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavad Gita, then we get the full picture. Like, for example, there is a famous, I think he just died recently, this Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, founder of TM. I think he just recently died. Yeah? So he wrote a commentary on the Gita, but his commentary on the Gita spans only the first 6 chapters. Because his focus is more on yoga side, like hatha yoga or meditation. He didn't go further, because he was not a dishonest person. So he knew it would be difficult to interpret everything else in the sense of yoga. And he actually is known to say that if you really want to know the Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, and everything, then go to Prabhupada. Study A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's known to say this. To have said this. So if you take in its fullness, then it will be more difficult to misinterpret. And also you can ask questions. And we also, that's why it is also important to have a living spiritual master, a living guru. Yes? So that if I'm going too far away, then he will, like Gopal Krishna Maharaj, every time he comes to Vrindavan, he calls me in and he's, you know, looking and asking, how are you, what are you doing, yes, and just checking up, keeping tabs on me. And if he comes somewhere, so many times I've experienced, he's asking, or somebody comes from some area, it's amazing, he knows so many people. He says, this and this person, how is he doing, and that person, some even not initiated, bhakta such and such, bhaktin such and such, he remembers them, he remembers their problems and their situation, he has these things. So it's important to have a living person, and if I deviate in some way, then he will give me some instructions in that regard. So, not to misunderstand, study in fullness, and complete form. And the second is to have a working relationship with the person, with the spiritual master, with Bhiksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, senior devotees. It's very important also to have some friends in Krishna consciousness or some seniors in Krishna consciousness who are looking after you. Like when I was thinking to move to India, I was asking my Shiksha Guru Niranjana Swami I told him, I think you're not very much in favor of people moving to India. He said, no, not at all. As long as they have service and as long as they have somebody, some senior devotee to look after them. Just to look that they are okay, that they are not lost or moving somewhere, drifting away. Then it's okay, you can move. If you have a service and you have somebody to look after you. So actually every one of us needs this. That's again the system in the famous Radha Gopinath Chaupati temple, right, where they are able to take care of people. That's the system Niranjana Maharaj has already implemented in Ukraine and many other places. He doesn't accept disciples unless they have some senior person looking after them, the counselor. This is the counselor system. He doesn't even accept the person as a disciple because he says, I cannot personally look after every disciple, so they need to have some senior friends who are caring about them. And then if you have somebody, then they will call you, they will ask you, they will talk to you, so like that. Okay? Any other points on this? It's clear, right? So, hearing Krishna Katha and hearing the holy name is the life-giving nectar. If you just hear the Krishna's name that we are chanting, there will be so much life and enthusiasm in our life. I remember once one spiritual master was giving a class, and then he asked, who has chanted in 16 attentive rounds? Nobody raised their hand. So he said, who chanted one attentive round? Nobody raised their hand. So he said, who has chanted half an attentive round? Well, half of a round attentively? Nobody. So he said, a quarter. And then he said, if you chanted at least a quarter of a round with complete concentration, you will be so enthused, you'll have enthusiasm and inspiration that you will be flying out to distribute books. You wouldn't have to push yourself. You would be, you know, floating over earth. And that's true, right? Right. So, again, as I mentioned, that's what Burijan Prabhu says, one mantra at a time. Yeah, so we move one mantra, because if we tell our mind, chant 16 rounds, the mind can balk. Yeah, it says, oh, 16 rounds. Oh, too much. Even one round, difficult. But if we say to the mind, just one mantra. Is it too much? Just one mantra. 16, it's just ridiculous. So easy. So the mind can hear one mantra. Then we say, okay, one more mantra. And for me personally, this is something that is most effective. There are so many techniques, so many methods and tricks to help me chant, but I have found that one that is the basis of all others for me, one that kickstarts all the others, is actually counting attentive mantras. I remember I read Bhaktisiddhanta says that in the morning you have to beat your mind 100 times with a stick So I thought, what does it mean to beat your mind? So I thought, well, there's no better beating than bringing it back to hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. So I decided, okay, let me count at least 108 attentive mantras as I chant. So it usually never takes me, you know, one round. It usually takes me 2 rounds, 3 rounds, sometimes 8 rounds before I count 108 at least, you know, tolerably attentive mantras. And usually when I do that, it keeps me very much on track. It keeps me focused, and there is a goal. It keeps me pushing. I have to keep working on my mantra, on my chanting, on my hearing rather. And then usually by the time I count 108, the chanting becomes qualitatively different. You already can cross a certain threshold, cross a certain point where it becomes attractive. So for me, it's a very important trick or technique, counting better or attentive mantras. So in the last 3 days, you were also supposed to try and in the mind, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's another similar technique. It was told to me by one older devotee. He told me that you just try to count every mantra. You know, chant one mantra on the beats and at the same time in the mind count 1, 2, 3, 4. So that you can see that there is exact number of the mantras. And I was surprised when I tried, all of a sudden, before I used to chant 7.5 minutes per mantra, but when I counted the mantras, I chanted in 5 minutes. I was surprised because it turned out that 2.5 minutes of my chanting is just some mind garbage. It's just some mind garbage. I'm thinking about whatever. When I was counting, I just cut out some of that garbage, and it turned out that it's 2.5 minutes less time needed to complete a round. But this is one thing, and it's probably a little bit mechanical. But when I count 108, it's counting not in one round, but just totally collecting some attentive mantras. And Gurujan Prabhu told me that he also uses this. He counts. He says he uses a clicker to count attentive mantras. But for me, I found it's more effective to use not a clicker, but to count them and to actually be conscious. Okay, this is 63rd. This is 64th. Because it keeps me. I have a certain goal that keeps pulling me. It keeps me focused, as I want to collect 108 good mantras. So therefore, it helps me to keep working. Otherwise, I may become just lazy. You know, I chant one nice mantra and say, "Aha, success!" It is success, but it's better to have a higher success. You had some comment?
At the point of time when you're actually analyzing whether your mantra was attentive or not, don't you lose attention at the next mantra you chant?
It can be, definitely. It can be. No. Well, first of all, even that is better than thinking about when will I wash my dhoti, right? So even that is much better. Or thinking of, you know, when will I eat that apple in my, you know, room or whatever. So, you know, that is so much better. But also, it doesn't have to take any time. It's just you know it. You know it. You know when you are trying and you actually have heard not just, you know, 2 words, but you have heard 16 words, you're conscious of 16 words, you know it. And usually you are blissful when you have heard the 16 words. Usually the mantra herself or itself or himself, themselves, they tell you, yes, that's us. You feel it. There's, you know, you don't mistake it. Or was it a good mantra? Was it a bad mantra? Even if you, because that's Namabhas, right? Namabhas starts as soon as you try. You just try, you just turn your face a little bit to Hare Krishna and you immediately feel it. Namaprat turns into Namabhas and it's blissful. Even Namabhas. What do you say if you actually hear, it becomes Shudanam. If you actually hear whatever your mantra. So, before we continue, I would like to ask you to please turn to your neighbors, to your friends. And at home, you were supposed to come up with some techniques that help you to hear Hare Krishna mantra, to hear as you chant, to hear better. So can you please turn to your neighbors and share what helps you most? What is the best technique? Because this is the name of the chapter, Techniques of Hearing. What's the best technique of hearing that you have discovered so far? Okay? Is it clear? So please share the jewels. Okay. So, who would like to share? What are your favorite techniques for actually concentrating on hearing?
My favorite technique is getting up pretty early in the morning.
Very early.
Yeah.
When everything is peaceful.
Get up at 2:30, get your work done, and clean the temple by 3.
Excellent.
And it's so serene, so quiet.
No disturbance. Very nice. Very good. Sarvabhauma says that, Sarvabhauma Prabhu from the temple, he says that this Muhurta, Brahma Muhurta time, is the time of Darbar. You know, it's like the office time that Krishna opens his doors and everybody can come and, you know, talk to him. So this is the like visiting hours, open visiting hours for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's better to go somewhere where they will not disturb you. Or if you are very focused on your chanting, oftentimes people will respect it, unless it's something, you know, they think that they can intrude. But if they see that you are focused, they oftentimes will be more reluctant to interrupt you.
Huh?
Festival time is, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult, right? That's true. That's difficult. Secluded place, yeah. But it's also very helpful when we chant together with somebody who is also serious. So you can get a friend, ask a friend and say, can we just go and chant seriously somewhere? Like that. Okay? Something else? Good night's sleep, right. Be rested. Makes a difference. Very good, yes. Upright position. Sitting. Alright, okay, good. So Prabhupada says, sit properly. Yes. Okay, very good. Something else?
Can you give one demonstration class for the perfect way of...
Of course not. How can I give a demonstration of a perfect chanting? if I were able to chant perfectly, I would float. Yes? Alright, but still I'm asking now for what techniques have you discovered, right? Don't try to turn the tables, no. I've told you some of mine. I find this very funny. So when I'm asking for questions, oftentimes there are no questions. But as soon as I ask for questions, all of a sudden so many questions arise. From where, I'm wondering? Yeah? Offense is the best defense, right? Any other techniques...
We didn't discuss the chanting loudly.
Wow. Alright, so let's work more on this as we chant. And I would also like you to write down at home some personal experience when you were able to actually relish hearing, when you were able to relish your hearing, and what were the circumstances of that helped you to relish hearing, except having a good speaker, besides having a good speaker. Yes? Questions on that? It's the same shravanam. All of these are shravanam.
Yes, but I understand the philosophy.
This is hearing, and that is hearing. Hearing Bhagavatam is Shravanam, and hearing the... You can. You can. It's possible. Definitely it's possible. Very good. So why don't we hear? Don't we have the same ecstasy when we hear the holy name? Who would like to give suggestions? What's the difference when we hear, like today? Who enjoyed Indradyumna Maharaja's class today? Can I ask you? Who was hearing? Who heard today's class? Oh, maybe you were in the. Yes. So did you enjoy it? Did you relish? So what is the difference between enjoying such a class and hearing your Hare Krishna mantra? Radhika Nagar Prabhu. Interest. Okay, very good. Interest. And interest is based on... You have something similar?
Yeah, because Ross was given great personality, pure devotee. He has a lot of taste. And he gives...
Don't try to find an excuse. Because what you hear as you hear the Maha Mantra is... the source of all great personalities.
Wait.
When you are chanting Hare Krishna, no matter who you are, Hare Krishna is Krishna himself and Radha herself. No. Wait. That's the point. That's what we have to get. That's what I'm saying. We don't have faith. We don't have faith. And since we don't have faith, we don't even have interest in hearing ourselves. It's not the same faith. It's not enough faith. I'm not hearing because I don't believe that this is Radha and Krishna. It's called a theoretical belief. It's not a faith. Taste is based on knowledge. That's where you get taste. So, when we hear somebody like some speaker, why do we have interest? Can somebody give me the psychological explanation? Why do we have interest? Like, for example, Indradyumna Maharaj is an excellent storyteller. What makes it? Yes?
Tell.
Not enough. He has interest. There are some people who also have interest. Okay, so he has interest, and how does it help me to get interest? No, that's a very mystical explanation, association. Like Shukadeva Goswami has a taste, and he has this interest, and we read Bhagavatam and we fall asleep. Why in this case it didn't happen? I fall asleep. I read Bhagavatam and I fall asleep. Why? He has a taste. Shukadeva Goswami has a taste. So what's the difference? So if you have a person sitting in front of you and speaking. How does it influence? Why does it influence you? Association. Why? How? Krishna Ramadhi.
They're very expert at using body language, using humor, using different techniques.
Right. So what happens to you when that?
Become engaged.
That's right. And how are you becoming engaged? Huh?
You're in your mind and your intelligence and your hearing is elevated.
So what's the process? What's the process, what's the downside? How, not the downside, the under the hood, how it happens, how does it happen that I become engaged?
Attentive.
Why?
Because he is watching you. He comes on
loudly. Why? Why am I absorbed? Why?
Interested in the
subject. Why?
Because he's speaking good.
Because it's Krishna.
What makes it good?
Because it's Krishna.
I that's good. But this is still external. Let me give you a counter example. You watch a car movie, or like you fly on an airplane. They run a car movie. Does it? Do you become absorbed sometimes, even without hearing a sound? Right? Why? Is it Krishna Katha? Are these people self-realized? Why are you becoming engaged? Why? What happens? Yeah, right. So what? So we see some emotions, right? So then what happens? There's just one little thing. Why? Not even attentive. I'm sitting in my seat and I'm looking here and there, and just, you know, just from the corner of my eye, I see some, what was this time? It was Indiana Jones, something, some movie about Indiana Jones. And, you know, it's hard to help, you know, just, you know, looking, not even hearing, just, you know, seeing what happens, and it attracts the attention. Why? Pardon? This is the answer I'm looking for. This is the answer I'm looking for. That's what happens. Can you please hear me first? Okay. So, here is the secret of why in any situation, any one of us becomes interested in anything. The reason is we identify. We identify. This is the same what Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Why we don't feel taste for the most tasteful Srimad Bhagavatam. So why do we feel interest? Okay, a good speaker is telling something emotionally, and I can identify with these emotions. I know these emotions. These emotions are strong, so therefore I can recognize, oh, I also have had such emotions. I also was in such a situation. It sometimes happens to me, or I would like to have these emotions, or I know what these emotions are. So I identify, there is a bridge. I identify with all these emotions or situations. So this identification, personal identifications with the emotions, is the single factor that makes us personally very much involved. Identification. I personally establish a sambandha with me. That's what makes me very interested. That's what makes me totally absorbed. And only because I have not an established and clear sambandha with the holy name, I don't see what the holy name is for me. It's not. It doesn't touch my emotions because I don't identify with what the holy name is doing to me. That's why I'm not feeling the same emotions. That's why it doesn't move me in the same way. Although, for a devotee who is, that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that chanting the holy name very quickly produces amazing results if you do it in sambandha gyan. That's what sambandha gyan, right? So that's what we have. This Krishna, anushilanam is attention, but Krishna is this personal sambandha. This who is Krishna for you? Knowing who is Krishna. In other words, that switches on the emotions for you. Because if it's just theoretical belief, yes, Krishna is the name is Krishna, then it's theoretical, right? But if I take that this sound now is, you know, is the source of my today's happiness, is the source of my life, supreme magic that can change everything, it's the source of all sweetness, or it's my savior, or it's the absolute truth, or it's the spirit that's permeating everything, whatever he is for us personally, or he's the sweetest, or he's the most beautiful, or he is very kind, or he is very attractive, whatever. So when we accept it, that's what switches on the I also noticed once I was on Navadvip Mandala Parikram, and you know, in Parikram you see so many deities. So you come down and you bow down, and there are so many deities that sometimes you see the deity and it's like, you know, another deity, right? And you don't have anything, you know, any emotion or anything. But I noticed that if I turn with a personal prayer to the deity, all of a sudden the deity becomes alive to me, because there is a personal relationship. There is a sambandha. A relationship is established and immediately some emotions come. So this effective hearing is when we hear with sambandha. And you can see that's what Prabhupada says a little later in the same chapter when he describes remembering. A very interesting point here. Prabhupada says, this is page 91, remembrance. So what's remembrance, Prabhupada says? Some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. So listen again. If you establish in your mind your continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. Relationship. Personal relationship. Who is Krishna for you? So whenever we are attracted to or interested, it means it switches. We see some relationship to me, and usually that's some emotion, like a good speaker. So he feels some emotions because he is either realized or he's. But we can see that even some movie can get us involved. So why? Because we identify with emotions. We see the emotions. We identify with the emotions. We can see how it relates to me. So let's try to do an exercise. So this is an exercise when I would ask every one of you to break into pairs. Can you please break into pairs and sit face to face and knees to knees? All of you, okay? Break in two. Groups of two people. Everybody. The knees don't necessarily need to touch, but just face each other. So, where is Krishna? Krishna Maya? Is she coming back? Krishna Maya Madhaji? Are you taking part? Why? Why not? It takes 3 minutes. You're not interested to learn?
No, I'm not doing this today.
Why?
Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow we don't have this exercise. All right, so please give me three words. Any three words, tell me. Any three words. Huh? Any word. One, two, three. Okay, so here's one. So, one, two, three. That's one, let's say, a word or a statement. Give me another word. It's a name, not a word. Give me a word.
Comfort.
Comfort. Very good. Comfort. Comfort. Yeah, one word. One more word.
Meditation.
Okay. Meditation. So, here's the rules, I'll tell you. So, this is an exercise in hearing, and let's see if you will be able, I bet you will be able to hear very attentively, and here's why. So, one side starts telling a story. You have to invent a story using these three words. One, two, three, comfort and meditation. Just invent any story. And you tell this story for 1 minute. And then I will ring the kartals. Yes, I ring the kartals. After 1 minute. And then the other person continues the story from the same point, in the same line, the same story, and gives their continuation for 1 minute. Then I ring again, and then the first person again continues for 30 seconds. No, only the first time. Only the first time. Then again I ring, again the other person 30 seconds. Again I ring, the other person 15 seconds. Again I ring, another person 15 seconds. Alright? Is it clear? Is it clear? So, for whom it's not clear? What is not clear? So just those who begin in your story, invent any story using these three words. One, two, three, comfort and meditation. Clear?
Once,
only the first person. You just begin using these three words. So now, can I ask who will be A's? Please raise your hands. Who will be A's? In every pair, please one person raise your hand. A. This will be A's. There will be A's and B's. A and B. So who is A? Please raise your hand. Okay. So thank you very much. So the B's will begin. So the B's begin. Okay. So get ready. And as soon as I ring, the other person starts from the very same point, the very same story, continues in the same line. But the first person still listens because they will, after I ring, they will start again. So, get ready. Start. Stop. Yes, you can stop. All right. So, did you hear, were you able to hear attentively? Yes. Were you involved? Yes. Did you feel that your body posture doesn't let you hear, or did you did this, some sounds or somebody some talks from outside, did they disturb you?
Yes.
You were completely focused, right? Nothing could distract you. You were totally attentive, right? So that's called active listening. That's called active listening. We are totally active in we are very focused, we have a clear goal, and we are totally absorbed in listening, right? So this is, would anybody like to share their story? Anybody? Krishna Ram Prabhu?
There was a person.
Yes.
Our story is, there was a person named 123. He was wanted to live very comfortably. So he was trying to find a way out how to live comfortably and to be happy forever. So in the process, he was searching for the truth. Then he came across a yoga master who was teaching meditation. Was actually teaching meditation. So when he met his yoga master and asked him, the yoga master told him, yes, we teach meditation. There are two ways. One is Ashtanga yoga and one is Bhakti yoga. There are two ways. And then he decided to enroll for the class. So when he came for the particular class, one day he was feeling a bit tired and lethargic. So the yoga master told him, no, when you come for the class, you must be full vegetarian. You become English Bhakti yoga here. You must become full vegetarian. So he took a vow to become a vegetarian. But the next day when he came for class, during the meditation, he was feeling a bit clumsy, right? And he was not able to do the posture because he overhead and pain. So the yoga master told him, tomorrow when you come again for the next class, you please have your lunch at 12 o'clock. Have your prasad light at 12 o'clock, full vegetarian, and your class is scheduled at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5. We will teach you Bhakti yoga, how to meditate on the holy name of Krishna. And he took the instruction of the yoga master and he came for his meditation class and then he started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That way he found salvation in his life. He became a great devotee, Kumbhakarna.
Very dramatic story. Thank you. So you can see some elements that you used were posture. You were leaning forward. You were looking in the eyes. Oftentimes, you were sometimes holding your breath, or it influences your whole body. If you are very attentive, sometimes you can notice. If you are very attentively chanting Gayatri Mantra, you can notice that you breathe slower. You even may even stop breathing. Right? So actually, the mind and the breath, they are interconnected. They are, and the body, three things: the body, the mind, and the breath. So if we control one of these, then it helps to control the other of these. If we sit still, the mind becomes still. If we breathe slowly and deeply, then again the mind becomes still. So these are some of the things that we use. And if we are personally involved, like here, we had a personal interest. Yeah, we had to continue the story from where it ended. So we have some personal goal to achieve here. So in the same way, if we have a personal goal when we are hearing the holy name, or if we are when we are reading the scripture, then the study becomes so much deeper. Just like, for example, who has an experience of teaching somebody? Can you please raise your hands? So when you have to prepare a class, do you study deeper than usual? Do you get some new insights when you study to give a class, right? So again, why? Because your absorption is much greater. Why? Because you have a personal relationship. You are identifying, you know, I have to give this class. I have to present this topic. Right? So therefore, you get much deeper. That's why teaching is very powerful to learn. That's the best way to learn. Teaching and preaching. Prabhupada wanted all of us to be preachers. Prabhupada wanted all of us to become spiritual masters. Yeah? Thousands of times he says, we need so many spiritual masters. And he says, it's easy. Just repeat what's in the parampara. That's the only qualification. The only qualification is you repeat from the parampara. Don't become Mayavadi or Sahaja, and just repeat from the parampara. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Just like in that joke, two professors are talking. So one professor is saying, this group of students is so dull. He's saying, I explained to them this subject once. I explained this subject for them second time. I myself understood it, and still they don't understand. So, when we explain, usually it helps us to understand better what we explain. You also may have felt that. Who has felt that while preaching or teaching, all of a sudden you understood something that you didn't know before? Yeah, you got some realization. Yeah, realization comes. All right. So this, with regards to hearing, personal involvement, taste, appreciation of hearing, let's continue collecting techniques for that. This is the purpose of studying, to collect techniques that help us. And also, just to help me, I would like you to give me a piece of paper, let's say tomorrow, on which you tell me three things. So what do you like in my teaching, right? Or in how I teach? What do you like? Right? Then second, what you don't like? And what I should stop. In other words, this is what I should continue. That's don't like. Or what can be improved. Or what needs to be stopped. And what's missing. Or what to add. Okay? So this is very simple. Three things. Simple feedback. Just to help me continue teaching myself and developing and advancing in my teaching. Japa retreat. Yeah, in fact, thank you for reminding me. That's what I wanted to mention. Those of you who will go for the japa retreat, you will hear also that this is one of the very important points in improving your japa, which is establishing a personal relationship with the Holy Name, or being conscious of some relationship with the Holy Name. Both Shachinanand Swami and Burijan Prabhu, they point this out, that this is what makes chanting very different, when I am aware of what is my relationship with the Holy Name. There are some other things. Every year, Burijan Prabhu and Shachinanand Maharaj, they bring up some additional points, many many different points. Like one year, last year, Shachinanand Swami was speaking about a certain procedure of praying for the Holy in our spiritual life. That another year, he was speaking about Krishna's qualities, appreciating Krishna's qualities. Another year, 2 years ago, he was speaking about therapeutic listening. So how to listen therapeutically. And Burijan Prabhu was speaking about how to read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam in a personally involved way, in a surrendered mood, and trying to apply what we hear, also in a prayerful mood, prayerful reading. Yeah, thank you. You're not complaining here. This is just something to help. Just think of how you could help me to do it better. Right? is there something that is in a way of having it better? Is there something I could influence so that it could become better? It's not a criticism, it's what I'm asking for, just to help me improve it in the future. Very good. Yes, that's right. It's a personal time with Krishna. Thank you. That's very good. So please make a collection of such techniques and thoughts and considerations that help you personally, move you personally more into the embrace of the Harinam, Krishna's name. Let's work on it. And in this regard, what's helpful is remembrance. So again, it's very interesting how Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami define remembrance. That's sambandha. That's a relationship. Right? That's remembrance. And when it becomes deeper, it becomes meditation. It's another point in this chapter. So it's different from meditation is different from remembrance in that remembrance can be occasional. It comes and goes, whereas meditation is focused. It's focused and it's continuous. Like the usual example is given, when you pour water, the flow is not uniform. Sometimes it can how you call it, not bristle but sprinkle player, you know, it whirls. But if you pour oil, right, when you pour oil, it goes down in a very continuous and uniform stream. And if you pour honey, even more so, it's very uniform, very thick. So meditation is getting our remembrance more and more thick, getting it more and more continuous and uniform, focused, streamlined. So, and Rupa Goswami gives the examples here of several kinds of meditations. That the meditation on the form, Rupa Dhyana, meditation on the form of the Lord, meditation on the qualities of the Lord, meditation on the activities of the Lord, and the service of the Lord. So these are all meditations. Rupa Goswami quotes a very beautiful verse. I wanted to chant the Sanskrit from this verse because even the Sanskrit is extremely tasty here. So the verse is, this is Krida Dhyanam, or meditating on the Lord's activities or pastimes. The translation is, he who meditates on the most sweet, most astonishing, charming pastimes of the Lord attains liberation. Prabhupada gives this also here. So the in Sanskrit, it's from Padma Purana, it sounds, Sarva madhurya sarani sarvad bhutamayani cha dhyayan hares charitrani lalitani vimuchyate. So they are sarva madhurya sarani, they are the essence of the sweetness. Sarvad bhutamayani, they are permeated by all astonishing things, amazing things. Dhyayan hares charitrani, meditate on Lord Hari's pastimes. Lalitani, they are charming. Lalitani vimuchyate. If you do that, then you become free. So, meditation is focused, is uninterrupted, and one of the things that help us to become focused is a prayer. If we have a clear goal and we are going to this goal. So that's why when you actually pray for something as chanting, again, it helps you to be more focused in your meditation. But we know what we are praying for. Also, there is one explanation by Gopal Guru Goswami where he translates every word in the mantra as a prayer. So sometimes you can also try. You know, every word in the mantra becomes a prayer. O Radharani, please attract my mind from the material world. O Krishna, please attract my mind from the by your sweetness from the material world. O Radharani, again, please attract my... So the first three names are about a request for attracting us. Then, O Krishna, please purify my mind by letting me know how to serve you through serving your devotee. Yeah. Then again, O Krishna, please teach me to remember you all the time. So every name, Hare Krishna, every name is explained by Gopal Guru Goswami in this way. If somebody wants, I can send you this. Or you can find also in many different books, like in Mahanidhi Swami's book. I don't remember if Shachinana Swami has this in his book, but it can be found in many places. And the example here, given by Jiva Goswami in his commentary is the South Indian Brahmana who was meditating on making sweet rice for the Lord. He was not very opulent, so he was meditating on opulent worship of the Lord. And you know the story. So once he was meditating how he was cooking sweet rice. And actually there's one detail that Jiva Goswami adds here. He says that he was meditating that he filled a golden jug, a big golden pot with this sweet rice, and he was putting it before the Lord, but he touched, it was so filled that he touched the sweet rice with his thumbs. And he thought, oh, I have contaminated this sweet rice because I've put my thumbs into the sweet rice. And he also burned. It was very hot. So his meditation broke. And when it broke, he was surprised to see that his thumbs were burned. They were hurting. Whew, I was meditating and my thumbs are hurting. And then Vishnu started laughing. And Vaikuntha and Lakshmi asked, why are you laughing? And he said, you will see. And he brought this Brahmana from in an airplane. So, this is all brought together in one chapter about techniques. And interspersed with this, in between these topics, we have one interesting topic, very important topic. It's called expecting the Lord's mercy, which is a very deep thing, which sums up the devotee's attitude or mood to everything. This is again the point that we discussed yesterday, that on one side the devotee is responsible, or he takes responsibility for his life in his hands. As I mentioned, this is one of the most important points to understand from Bhakti Shastri, to understand that we are the doer, right? From the 5th chapter of the Gita, from the 18th chapter of the Gita, it's the basis of religious life. Without understanding this, we will simply complain about other people. It's also what helps us to avoid criticism, you know, because until I understand that I am, as Prabhupada says, I am the architect of my destiny. Man is the architect of his destiny. Right? Until I understand that I have created whatever is around me, I will be criticizing. Oh, why the temple president hasn't arranged for a conducive environment for me? Oh, why this temple didn't arrange for this? Oh, this, they didn't do that. Oh, why don't I have a good association? Oh, I wish I was surrounded by better devotees. So we always try to shift the blame on somebody else. But until we understand that I am the doer, I have created what is around me, and I keep creating. I keep creating. Why am I surrounded by who I am surrounded with? Because I am like that. That's who I am. If I were better, I would be in heaven. If I were even better, I would be in Vaikuntha. And I would be surrounded by you know, Vishnu. If I were even better, I would be in Krishna Loka, right? So I'm surrounded by who I deserve to be surrounded with. And if I want to if I want to have better association, I just need to become a little better. I just need to become a little better. It works 100% of time. That's what also is said by Raghunath Das Goswami. He gives a very interesting progression. He describes how to get rid of lust, anger, greed, and other six, you know, the whole bunch of six, he calls them dacoits or robbers, highway robbers. So he says how to get rid of it. You want to know what Raghunath Das Goswami? Yesterday we had his appearance day, Dhirubhava Mahotsav. Did anybody go to Radhakund? You went with Indra? You were singing with Indra there? Right. So Raghunath Das Goswami gives, he describes from the gross to the more and more subtle the impediments in our path. So the grossest impediment he speaks about is lust and anger. He says they are like highway robbers who attack us. You know, in the dark road, they jump on us and they tie a noose on our neck. On our throat. So he says, Asat cheshta kashta pradavikata patalibhiriha prakam kamadi prakatapada pativeti karai gale badvaham neham iti bhagavidvartma pagane kuru tvam putkarana vadisaya tvam manaita. You know this verse? No? So he says, when you are attacked by these robbers on in a dark road, and they are choking you by the rope on your throat, then what you should do, normally what a person does in the material world, two options. One option is karma, the other option is jnana. One is, we try harder, we work harder, go hack the wood or something. So this is one usual approach we take. The other usual approach is take, analyze it. Jnana. Oh, I should analyze it deeper and then get rid of this kama, krodha, lust, anger, greed. Right? But what Raghunath Das Goswami offers, he offers a third way out. He says, you have to, he says, the most effective way is not to work harder and not to analyze it deeper. The best and most effective way to act when you are attacked by the robbers is to, with your whole heart and voice, shout, Krishna! Yes? I am dying! Krishna! Put your whole heart and call, Krishna! Right? And that's the usual, because first of all, some devotees will take interest in us, they'll come to our help. And second of all, Krishna, the robbers will become scared. That's what they are afraid of, right? When somebody is making noise, they think, oh, somebody will come here, and they run away. But then he gives the next verse. I think we should try this one time. Yeah, well, let's all together call Krishna the enemy of Baka, the destroyer of the Baka demon, who can, just with the sound of his name, he can chase away all the dacoits. So let's one time call Krishna. Krishna! One more time. Krishna! More desperately. Krishna! Do you like it? Right. But then he gives the next verse where he describes why it may be that you can experience these troubles. And he says, it's a very, very nice verse and also a very shocking verse where he says, Are cheta prodyat kapata kutikam prodyat kapata kutinati bhara karaksharan mutre snatva dasi kapatam katamatmanam apimam sadattvam gandharva giridari pada prema vilasat sudham bodha snatva sam apinitaram mam cha sukhaya. He's saying, you fool, you foolish mind, why are you bathing yourself in the burning urine of a donkey of criticism? Instead of bathing yourself in a burning urine of a donkey of criticizing others and doing politics with others, about others, why don't you rather bathe yourself and myself in a glistening, beautiful ocean of the pastimes of Gandharika and Giridhari? This way you will become happy and I will become happy. So this is usually the reason why we experience the problems, because we offend others, basically. We offend others, we do some offense, and that's why the punishment comes as these strong material desires or strong material affections or emotions we are affected with. So he's saying, instead of going into this criticism and politics and this, why don't you rather just bathe your mind in something sweet? Because all these things, they just burn you, they disturb you. So why be disturbed? Just be happy. And then he goes even to something more subtle. Why would you criticize? Why would you like to criticize? Why would you like to do politics? So he's giving the reason for that. So he's saying, Pratishtasha drishta sapachara mani meridina detkatam sadhu prema sprishati suchire tannanumana sadatvam prema sadatvam Sadatvam prema svarupa dayatam. I forgot. Yatatam mishka. Forgot. So he's saying, till what time will you allow a dirty meat-eating chandala prostitute of wanting recognition to dance in your heart. He's saying pratishtasha is like, you know, as if one thing would not be enough. Not only it's a meat-eating chandali, a dirty girl who is a prostitute, who is arrogant, shameless, dirty, meat-eating. So, you know, all of these, you know, so he says this is who is pratishtasha, desire for recognition or false ego, basically. Desire to be established in one way or another, desire for recognition. So he says, as long as she dances in my heart, as long as you allow this dirty prostitute to dance in your heart, how the chaste and beautiful prema can enter there? If you imagine a chaste and beautiful girl, she opens a door and she sees some, you know, dirty chandali prostitute dancing there. So she closes the door and says, oh, she goes somewhere else. Yeah. So how can prema enter my heart as long as this prostitute is dancing there? Why prostitute? Because she will go anywhere if somebody pays her. So if anybody, you know, helps me to become established or recognized, my mind is attracted. So, and what is the solution? That so pratishtasha, this false ego leads to criticism. When I want to become established as prominent myself, that's when I take interest in criticizing others, hear others, hearing criticism of others, or even making politics, kutinati, you know, this diplomacy. And what's the solution that Raghunath Das Goswami is giving? He says, Sattvam seva sva prabudayeta samantam adulam eta tam nishkasya tvaritam ihatam vesa iti sa. He's saying that if you simply keep yourself in the company of a dear devotee of the Lord, then with one kick, he will kick her out, immediately kick her out, and he will bring by the hand prema into your heart. So now you will say, okay, how do I get this association of this dear devotee of the Lord who will do this? Is this a good question? Right? Okay, I agree. We say, I would like to, that's what I want, that's why, that's my problem. I don't, where are they? Why don't they're not coming here, or they don't speak to me, or I don't have a chance to associate with them, right? But Raghunath Das Goswami, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains this in his commentary, he gives the next shloka where he explains what will help you to get this association. And he gives the next shloka where he says, yatha dushtatva me daraya deshatasya vikripaya yatha mahyam prema amritam apidadati ujvalamasau yatha sri gandharva bhajana vidaye prerayatimam tatha goshte kakva giri dharamiha tvam bhajamana. Saying, if despite being a rascal you want to get the purest prema of Gandharvika Giridhari, if you want, despite being a rascal, you want Krishna to remove the problems and give you the highest boon of inspiration to love Radha and Krishna, then he gives three things. Goshte, stay in Vrindavan, meaning create or find a spiritual atmosphere, surround yourself with a spiritual atmosphere. Best, of course, is Vrindavan. Goshte kakwa, with emotion, cry the name of the Lord. So three things: chant the name of the Lord and kakwa, with tears in your voice, basically. Kakwa means with emotion. So chant the names with emotion means become personally involved, right? Not only chant, but chant with emotion. So these three things: spiritual environment, chant the name with emotion. If you do that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, then naturally Krishna will immediately send you the devotees. That's the first sign and the only sure sign of Krishna's mercy. Not wealth, not comfort, not anything else, but devotee association. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die, how did we know it was mercy? All the acharyas say, because all the devotees in the universe, all the big devotees in the universe, they came there, they gave him association. And you know, in our life, sometimes difficult things happen, but we get a good association. And I don't know how you, but I have noticed this again and again. This is one thing that Krishna immediately fulfills. If you want to have a good association, if you sincerely want to have association of some higher devotees. I was surprised how quickly Krishna can fulfill this. I remember when I was just supposed to go to the BBT in Sweden for a year or several years, and I was thinking, oh, I don't know when will I see Gopal Krishna Maharaj again. So I was just sitting, I was thinking, the plane is after this much time, and so when will I see him? And I was chanting japa, and such thoughts started coming to me. And as soon as these thoughts started coming to me, the phone rang. And then the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and it was Gopal Krishna Maharaj's secretary from 1,000 kilometers away. He said, hey, you know, Guru Maharaj remembered you just now. And he said, why don't you come and be his secretary for the next, 10 days? I couldn't believe, I was dumbfounded, it was so fast. And time again and again, if I'm sincerely crying for Krishna, yes, then Krishna will send me a good association. And also, I myself will be seeking good association. And then all the other problems are solved. So this is upon me. It's not upon somebody else. So here, this verse is... I'm sorry, I'm keeping you over time, but I just became... I like this Raghunath Das Goswami's verses. So Prabhupada is quoting this very famous verse, which is the key of liberation, the key of freedom. Very simple verse. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. It's 91, very beginning, first paragraph. Expecting the Lord's mercy. So, it is a very famous verse. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvagvapurbir vidadam namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayavak. So, Prabhupada says, again, continuing, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds, not somebody else. It's my past misdeeds. So I should not expect immediate relief, because then what is my devotion if I expect, deliver, I shaved my head, so you have to deliver me immediately. Where is my devotion? No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. So, in the Sanskrit, it says, Hri Atma Kritam Vipakam. In Ayurveda, there is this term, Vipak. Who has heard this term? Vipak? Did you hear? If you study Ayurveda, they say that there is taste and there is Vipak. Like, for example, if you eat a banana, how does it taste? Sweet, sweet. But what is the aftertaste? Vipak? After it? Sour. It is sour. And lemon. If you eat, what's the taste? But aftertaste, sweet, right? So sometimes we do something, it's so sweet, but the aftertaste, so bitter. So whatever we experience is the aftertaste of things we ourselves, atma kritam, ourselves did in the past. So if a devotee understands, whatever happens is my responsibility, everything is my responsibility, and therefore does not blame Krishna, does not blame other devotees, does not blame other people, does not blame anybody, and happily and thankfully, with gratitude, continues to offer obeisances to Krishna with the body, that's not so difficult, with the words, a little bit more difficult, but not as difficult as offering obeisances with the heart. Happy heart. A happy heart, always saying, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, you are my Lord. So if we do that, just this thing, taking responsibility, then you are already in Krishna's list. Your reservation on Vaikuntha Airlines is confirmed. It's already, confirmed completely. Yeah. Goloka Dham, yes. So Goloka Airlines, it's already confirmed. Your name is already there in the list. Mukti Pade Sadayabha, you're already there. So these are some of the things here, and So one thing is, it's imperative for advancing to take responsibility on ourselves, understand that I'm the author of my life, both present and future. But at the same time, one who thinks himself independent doer is an ass. Yes? So I need mercy of Krishna. And mercy means it's voluntary. So when Krishna is pleased, he will give mercy. So I wait, susanikshamana, I'm happily waiting for Krishna's mercy. And so we do all we can to chant and hear and meditate, do our best. At the same time, we humbly understand that it's Krishna's mercy to actually manifest, actually come in the name. And then that's how we advance, by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please accept my humble obeisances.